This is the Ministry 127 podcast, a complimentary resource for spiritual leaders and a part of ministry127.com. ministry127.com is an online resource designed to help you develop and implement a biblical philosophy of ministry in the 21st century. ministry127.com, including this podcast, is hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Ministry127.com provides a growing online library of ministry resources designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders. These resources flow from servant-hearted local church leaders from around the world who are faithfully serving God with effective and biblical philosophies of ministry. To find out more, visit and subscribe to ministry127.com. Well, on today's Ministry 127 podcast, we're going to turn our hearts to leading and stewarding in a tough economy. If you've been watching the news, you know that we're in a difficult time financially. A lot of ministries are feeling that strain. And today, Ben Hobbs teaches wise stewardship in a tight economy. Ben Hobbs is the financial administrator of the ministry here at Lancaster Baptist Church, West Coast Baptist College, and Striving Together Publications. And I know that this lesson will challenge and equip you to be a better steward of the resources of your local church. Here's Ben Hobbs.
There's a couple of passages of Scripture I'd like to draw your attention to, and hopefully everybody has a handout this morning. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your hearts be also." And verse 31 says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God's promise for us is comforting, is it not? His promise is provision. His request of us is that we seek first the kingdom of God. And hopefully all of us as church members, church staff, church leaders are doing that. We're seeking the kingdom of God first in our lives. Isaiah 14. Verse 24 says, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand." Verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand has stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" It's important for us to recognize that everything that happens in this world is under the direct and in the direct divine plan of our Lord. Everything that happens is under his watchful, all-seeing eye, his all-knowing heart. Everything is under his control. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day you've blessed us with here. And Lord, thank you for just the challenge and encouragement that we've received so far through this conference. Lord, I pray specifically for this session and ask, Lord, that you would fill me with your spirit and wisdom. Lord, I pray that only those things that would bring honor and glory to your son Jesus would be said today. Lord, help me to be a help and encouragement. And I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you realize that there isn't anything that happens that catches God off guard or by surprise? I love this saying, "Did it ever occur to you that nothing just occurred to God?" Everything is known by God. The economic situation that we faced over the past year is all a part of his divine plan. Let me give you some current economic facts. Fact: we officially entered the current recession in December of 2007. And it's projected that it's going to continue through the end of this year, making this recession one of the longest recessions since the Great Depression. Interesting, really a severe economic time for us. Fact: the unemployment rate last week was reported to be over 9.5%. That's the highest rate in 26 years. For those of you that are older, think back to 26 years and you'll remember some of the things that were happening, how we seem not to learn from from our mistakes in a lot of ways. For those of you like us in California, maybe from the area you're in, our unemployment rate is even higher than that, than the national average. Fact, even with the recent gains in the stock market, the overall market is still down by 40% from what it was in October of 2007. That's an economic fact that all of us, all of our church families are dealing with. Fact, overall charitable giving was down in 2008 for only the second time in more than 50 years. It's affecting our church families. The economic times that we're in are affecting our church families. Guess what? As you well know, our church is made up of our church families. So as our church families experience economic difficulties, our church will start to feel that pressure as well. Now, we could sit here today and spend the rest of the hour feeling sorry for ourselves and sharing sad stories, or we could do our best to make the very most of what God has already ordained in His divine plan. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It reminds me of a story of a monk who entered a monastery, and he took a vow of silence that would only allow him to break that vow every 10 years and to say two words. So at the end of his first 10 years, he met with the chief monk, or whatever that person would be called, and he said, "Food bad," and he left. At the end of 20 years, they met again, and he said, "Bed hard," and that was the end of their meeting. At the end of 30 years, he came back and he said, "I quit." And the chief monk looks at him and says, "It doesn't surprise me one little bit. All you've done since you've been here is complain." And so listen, we could sit here and complain, but this is not the time for us to complain. This is a time for us to take action and to realize that uncommon times such as we're in really calls for uncommon wisdom. And that's something that only God can give to us. We're going to deal in this session with some practical areas of wise stewardship in the local church ministry. Looking at your outline that we've passed out, let me first of all challenge you to remember the owner. Remember the owner. It's so easy for us to forget that sometimes, and we value folks in the organization who take ownership, don't we? Don't you love to delegate something and just give it to somebody who's going to own it from A to Z and it's done? But let me just say, let's be very careful when it comes to this area of stewardship, that we realize that, first of all, in letter A, that we not forget our role as stewards. As stewards, our only responsibility is to look after what God has already given to us. It's not our responsibility to do anything other than that individually and then as church leaders corporately for our church. We're not the owner, God is. And we should be careful to think and act like stewards and not like owners. Great example, starting every day asking God for wisdom and how are we going to use the resources that He's blessed us with today. That's a great way to act as a steward and not as an owner. One book I always recommend is the autobiography of George Mueller. And I meant to bring it this morning. There's a passage in there that talks about our role as stewards and not as owners, but great autobiography or a biography. There's another quote I recently read. It said, "Stewardship is all about a relationship. We live as stewards. When we live as stewards, we live in relationship with our Creator, who's the owner of it all." So it's all about that relationship that we have with the Lord. Leads us to the second point, point number B. Realize that it's the owner's responsibility to provide. It's our responsibility to manage. Owner's responsibility is to provide. It's not our responsibility to do that. How many of you ever find yourself worrying about things that you really can't control? Isn't that almost the definition of worry? Just about everything I worry about are things that I really can't affect anyway, other than to pray for them. And realizing that God is the provider, we're the manager, is going to help us to take ourselves out from underneath that burden of worry. Our role simply is to ask, to believe, and to use those resources wisely to honor the Lord. So the second point, in addition to recognizing the owner, is secondly to lead by example. Our church families are looking to church leadership to lead by example. In many instances, they come to us for counsel and for instruction. In other instances, they'll simply model, without even talking to us, they'll model what they see us do. It's an awesome responsibility, like it or not, to be in a position of leadership, because leadership is influence. And you're influencing folks that you probably don't even know because you're in a position of leadership. Let me give you some areas where we as church leaders need to lead by example. First of all, in the area, letter A, of living within our means. Living within our means. Over years of being a part of this ministry and trying to help folks, it's so interesting that most of the financial problems that folks get into are not really related to income as much as they are related to outgo. People spending more than they bring in. You can talk to somebody that maybe makes minimum wage and figure out a way for them to make ends meet. Or you can speak to someone who's making six figures and can't make ends meet. It's interesting that it's all a matter of living within our means. Letter B, another area where we need to be example is living by a personal budget. Living by a personal budget. Having a plan to achieve those specific goals in your personal life with the resources that God blesses you with. It's so important. How can we sit across the desk from someone and counsel them about how to live by a budget and us not do it ourselves? So very important. An example, live by a personal budget. Letter C, living a life of moderation. Living a life of moderation. I really believe that's a duty as leaders in a local church. Philippians 4, 5, let your moderation be made known unto all men. Letter D, avoiding debt. We need to be an example to our church family in this area. Many times folks end up getting in these huge problems with debt, and especially in the area of consumer debt, buying things that are not assets or things that don't appreciate in value over time. Those are areas to avoid. Another area, example, letter D, sensing our church family needs. Sensing the needs of our church family. And this, and I'm sure Pastor dealt with it yesterday, this is such an important area at this time in our history. Having a benevolence program for your church, but above and beyond that, assisting people practically in financial terms, but also praying for them and letting them know that you know of their needs. Think, as a church, I think of our church. We have a list of all the men and women in our church who are unemployed, and it's a lengthy list. Having that list and praying for those people and sending, jotting them a note of encouragement, looking for things for them, opportunities for them to replace their job or to help in that situation. If for those of you that have a Christian school, knowing the families that aren't able to put their children in the Christian school, you should know that. And you should be a help and encouragement to those families as well, realizing that these are all generally financially oriented problems. So really important for us to sense and understand our church family needs. And then lastly, another area is instructing our church families. Instructing our church families. We should look, as church leaders, we should look for opportunities to teach personal stewardship. Lancaster Baptist this past year has held several different sessions over the year with things like how to prepare a personal budget, how to handle a mortgage difficulty. We have sessions throughout the year to try to help the specific need at the specific time in our church family's life. So important ways that we can lead and lead by example. Now, in addition to recognizing the owner and leading by example, let me also point letter three, or Roman numeral three, that we should count the cost by planning ahead. Count the cost by planning ahead. And let me just say that there's not a more appropriate time for you as a church to have a budget and to live by a budget. And yesterday we had a session on preparing a church budget. And if you weren't able to be there, it'll be out on the internet as a download very, very shortly. And we'd encourage you, if that would be a help to you, to use that. But there are several areas financially for a church that we need, in the environment that we're in today, that we need to think about planning ahead. Let me give you several of those. Letter A, first of all, in the area of constructing or building or getting ready to build. If your church is in a position where it's been saving for a certain amount of time and now has the ability to build with cash, your church is in a great position today. And this is a unique time in our history where you're able to do things now less expensively than you could a year and a half or a year 2 years ago. So this is a great time for you to be thinking about building if you have the resources to do that. Now, if you're planning to build and or planning to finance a project, this may be a little more difficult of a time for you. And that kind of leads us into the letter B there, planning ahead, not only in constructing, but in borrowing. Borrowing. This goes hand in hand with the construction aspect. As you are well aware, we've really had a credit crisis in this country. I've never seen it in my lifetime. And it's just been amazing to watch banks who exist to take deposits and make loans not lending money. And that has especially been the case for churches. And let me just say that if you're in a position where you're thinking about borrowing, that things are starting to relax a little bit, and credit is starting to loosen up. Over the last couple of months, I've observed that not necessarily the national lenders are being as quick to lend. And folks that I have recommended in the past, Evangelical Christian Credit Union, Bank of the West, for the folks that live out here, have been great lenders in the past, but they're not doing a lot of lending right now. But I have noticed that with smaller regional banks, community banks, smaller credit unions, that there has been a greater desire to lend to churches. So if you're in that position, I would just encourage you to look at your options, pick up the phone, make a lot of phone calls, and find out those lenders that are in a position to are making credit available to your church. So we want to be thinking ahead about constructing, about borrowing. Letter C, we want to think ahead and plan ahead in the area of capital purchases. Capital purchases, the purchase or creation of assets for your ministry. And I would encourage you in these times to have a prioritized list of the larger facilities and equipment needs that your ministry has. Don't let those kinds of things surprise you. If you need a new roof, make sure that that's on a list somewhere. If you have a piece of equipment that's wearing out and is going to need to be replaced, make sure that everybody kind of understands, here are our list of capital needs for the ministry. It'll help you in the long run. Letter D, planning ahead in the area of staff additions. Staff additions. And of course, this is a pastoral function here at Lancaster Baptist Church. But Pastor Chapel knows the next two or three positions that he wants to fill. And he's looking for opportunities to do that. So it's important that decisions not be snap decisions, but things that have been prayed over and thought about in advance. Areas to plan ahead. Next, letter E, in the area of long-term contracts. We need to be thinking ahead when we enter into long-term contracts in the economic environment that we're in today. And not only long-term contracts, but even short-term contracts. But when we think about long-term contracts, I think about property leases or equipment leases or long-term rental agreements. We want, in this day and age that we're in, to make sure that we're reading the contracts that we sign. I know the temptation is, when you get a contract that's 5 or 6 pages, to skim through it and flip to the last page and sign it. There's an old saying that I learned a long time ago. It says, the large print giveth, and the small print taketh away. And in the environment that we're in today, you have got to protect your church ministry by reading the fine print in the contracts. Those contracts can be changed. You can make modifications to contracts. Let me encourage you to structure contracts in a way that, in the worst case scenario, your church is able to get out of them by giving notice or other things. But let me just encourage you in that area. I think especially of if your church hosts conferences or camps. Let's say you have a youth camp and you have to enter into a contract for a certain number of participants. Make sure when you're doing that, you're putting in provisions that will help your church in the event that you have to maybe cancel it this year or postpone it, that you're able to get out of that without harming the ministry. Another area where you want to consider long-term planning is in the area of preventive maintenance and repairs. Letter F, preventive maintenance and repairs. And let me just say that this is an area that you don't want to avoid. This is an area you want to try to fulfill if at all possible. Make an extensive evaluation of your church building, your campus, and be aware of the areas where you need to do a few things up front to maintain so that you don't have some huge expense on the back. on the backside for not having done appropriately. If you have a roof that maybe develops a small leak, letting that go for a while could cause you a huge expense down the road, but dealing with it now might be a little more difficult because you've got to pay for it now, but it's going to save you your church money down the road. So those are areas where we need to think about and plan ahead as a ministry, long-term plans. Now, the next point in the outline is this concept of prioritizing to control expenses, prioritizing to control expenses. We talked about this briefly in our budget session yesterday, but it's so important for churches to have a contingency plan. A contingency plan, as we talked about yesterday, is sort of the last step in our budget preparation process, where Pastor Chapel and I go through and prepare a list of programs and areas, expenses that could be trimmed or cut if we didn't achieve the financial goals that we have in the budget. And it's not a lack of faith. It's just allowing ourselves an opportunity not to have to make snap decisions and to have to make reactionary types decisions when things don't work out exactly as we have planned. Let me give you several areas that should be considered in your contingency plan. First of all, you should consider the area of personnel expenses. Personnel expenses. And just a couple of thoughts here. First of all, in a tight economic time, your church can simply choose to eliminate open positions. Positions that are unfilled. You've got a place in the budget for it, but you haven't found that right person yet. Or you can delay on those kinds of positions. Or perhaps not just choose not to fill a position. In church ministry, as you all know, we're all accustomed to wearing multiple hats, aren't we? And such is certainly the case during difficult economic times. Another area to consider under personnel expenses is increasing your volunteer staffing. You know, it's so amazing to me how our church family just wants to be a part, and they want to help. And usually it's just a matter of the fact that someone hasn't asked them. And a great opportunity to help and to eliminate some hard costs by allowing our church family to volunteer to do things to help. Other areas under personnel that you may want to consider, looking at your benefit plans. Something as simple as maybe tweaking a copayment on your medical insurance plan might save your church thousands of dollars. So it's going to take a little work, and it's going to take a little time, but you should look at those types of expenses in a difficult economic environment. These are the types of things that you want to think about. The next area in your contingency plan that you would want to think about is just discretionary spending of all kinds. Discretionary spending of all kinds. And we want to be careful about that in a tough economic time. Letter C, less effective advertising. Less effective advertising. You know, Pastor had a point in his session yesterday on this, but it's interesting. It may depend on where you live, the composition of your church family, or maybe even more so your community. We thought, just recently had a discussion here about Yellow Pages and how interesting how that's sort of gone away from a real effective way to advertise. And so we've, as a ministry, still will have a presence in the Yellow Pages, but we've scaled that back a little bit, realizing that most folks are getting that information from somewhere else. But looking at those types of options, kind of looking outside of the box or what you're comfortable looking at. Another area in your contingency plan, look at capital spending. If you have capital spending in your budget, that's a great area to think about possibly deferring those programs. And I know that almost sounds like I'm contradicting myself about preventive maintenance and things, but there's a difference. Things that maybe are more discretionary, maybe you can live with your current printer for another year. Maybe it's not the fastest one on the market, but you can live with it for another year. So defer off that capital purchase until it's a more economically viable time. Another area to consider is alternative or more cost-efficient communications. Letter E, more cost-efficient communications. Something that our church has done this past year, and we've been very pleased with the success of it, is to move away from so much paper mailing and moving more to emails. And now, there's a segment of our church where that we would never do that. And I'm almost on that borderline of the folks that really prefer the paper over the email. But there's a segment of our church family we'll always mail to. But we've been able to save a lot of money just by communicating by email. Another area, less effective programs. Again, this is a pastoral decision, but I'm sure in every pastor's mind, when he thinks about the programs of the church, there are probably areas where that pastor said, if push came to shove, I could cut back a little bit in that area. And then finally, funding of cash reserves. Funding of cash reserves. And that's an interesting point. This is, again, almost contradictory. We're talking about saving money, but now we're talking about putting money aside, or we're saving on expenses because things are tight. Now we're talking about putting money aside and not touching it. But I would submit to you that even now, and certainly when things improve, that your church set aside cash for emergencies. And usually that's expressed in a number of days of expenses. And I would encourage you to, as a goal, start out, boy, our church could use an emergency fund of 30 days of expenses. And what that does is simply gives your church an opportunity to respond and to deal with tight financial situations in a more reasonable and rational fashion. And I've heard of churches that have put as much as 3 months away of their daily expenses, but something for you to consider. So it's important when you're thinking about a contingency plan that you prioritize your list. And in our church ministry, Pastor Chapel prioritizes that list. So we know what the next item is that we should address as we're thinking about and trimming things from within our church budget. Now, in addition to recognizing the owner and living by example and planning ahead and prioritizing to control expenses, let's look at Roman numeral 5, thinking green. Thinking green. Now, for those of you that are older, this is not thinking red or pinko or any of that. Thinking green is not a liberal concept. Let me submit, in California, we have a lot of folks that would be left-leaning politically, and we unaffectionately call them tree huggers and things. But let me just say that being a good steward of our natural resources is not a liberal or left thought. It is just being a good steward of what God has blessed us with. And the reality of many churches, we're feeling the reality here, is that we're running short on a lot of the resources that we need. Water, energy. Those are areas that we have to take a look at in order for our church to be strong financially. And let me just give you several areas under this area of thinking green that you should consider. First of all, the area of resource conservation. Resource conservation. And there are lots of organizations out there to help you and to help you in this area. Your power company has a specific group set up to help you conserve energy. They'll come out to your campus and audit your campus for free and provide you with a report of, here's how we think you can save money. Your water company will do the same thing. Your gas company will do the same thing. Take advantage of those energy and water and resource audits. Other ways that you can do that, resource conservation, is to utilize energy management systems. Energy management systems, EMS. We have such a system on our worship center. We have such a system on this building, and we'll talk about that more in just a moment. One of the big things that we can do to conserve resources is to raise the awareness with our church family and our staff and our volunteers, being conscious of turning lights off when we leave and making sure that we don't leave air conditioners running in modular buildings after we leave, and lots of things, just raising that awareness. Another way of thinking green, letter B there, is to consider alternative energy sources. Alternative energy sources. And that could include solar and wind and geothermal and other areas. And these are becoming more and more economically viable. We personally, as a church ministry, are in the process of looking at a solar energy solution for this ministry. We have I understand from talking to experts that Death Valley which is about 100 miles from here, is the best place in the country for solar energy. It's ideal, the clarity of the sky, the lack of rain, all of that. But I understand that Lancaster is like second or third in that list. And we've got to, if you have a chance, you've got to go by Avenue G and Sierra Highway, about 3 miles from here, and see the new energy plant, solar energy plant that's just come online. It's an amazing thing to see. But we're looking at that for this ministry. If we could come up with a solution that would help to generate all of the electricity that we need for this campus, plus be able to sell some back to Edison onto the grid, it would be an awesome investment for the ministry. I don't know where you're located, what your situation may be, but let me just challenge you to look at the options and think about that. It may be something that works for you. Now, these are not overnight decisions. These are decisions that require time to implement, and they require time to pay back. But think about that financially as an option for your ministry. Letter C there, another area of thinking green is smart building design. Smart building design. If you're getting ready to go into a building program, work with your architect to figure out what is the best way for us to design the systems of the building to make it a long-term, energy-efficient building. I'll give you a great example. The building that we're in now has a system that when we walk out of the classroom, all the lights will go off after a couple of minutes. The air conditioning will shut off. When we walk back in, the lights will come back on. There's a sensor right back, the fourth tile from the window, that is a light harvesting sensor. So you can see the beautiful view that we have here. It senses how much light is coming in and imperceptibly lowers and raises the lighting output of the light fixture so that you're getting an adequate amount to be able to see and read by. So those required a little bit of an investment on the part of the ministry, but when we talk about using a building for 40 years or longer till the Lord comes back, it's a very small thing that will give us significant payback in the future. So smart building design. Letter D, retrofitting your existing facilities. Retrofitting your existing facilities. This doesn't have to be something that's done only to new buildings, and it doesn't have to be something that's expensive. It may be just as simple as what maybe you would do in your home when you replace your old incandescent lights with a compact fluorescent, something that simple. I would just encourage you to take a look at that and to help in the area of conserving the resources. Letter E, using technology to reduce paper consumption. And we talked about that briefly, really a lot of that being web-based. A lot of things that we would print brochures and print applications and all types of things we're now doing electronically. And then letter F, recycling, and have a program for your church where you're doing your part in this area. So when we get to the end of the session, I'd be interested to see what other suggestions or thoughts maybe your ministry has come up with as we think about thinking green. And then lastly, point number six, when we consider how can we be better stewards of what God has blessed us with, let's remember and be cognizant to ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. And one of the positive things about the economic situation that we find ourselves in today is that organizations are becoming more competitive. It's amazing to see vendors that we were purchasing things from a year ago come back and say, look, we realize that things are tight. We're lowering our prices to be able to accommodate your needs. And that's a positive thing. I would just encourage you to take advantage of that. Letter A, by asking for price concessions. Asking for price concessions. This is especially true of those that you do business with right now. I think this past year we have a quarterly giving envelope that we mail to our church family, and the company that does it is out of state. Well, they had come up with some technological way of doing that for about 50% less than what we were paying. And of course, they did not call us to tell us this. But in the process of us competitively bidding that again and asking around, we discovered that. And we simply said, look, you value our business, we value working with you, but we need for you to cut our price in half of what we're paying for this. And they obliged. And it was no impact to them, they are still making the margin that they were making when they started, and we're better off today because of it. And let me just encourage you to ask. In many years of doing this type of work, especially dealing with new vendors and folks that you're asking for price quotes, rarely is the first price that you get the best price that they'll give you.
Right.
Rarely. Just as a practice, always ask for a better price. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. It's such a practical and easy thing to do. Secondly, remind them that you're calling from a church. And I almost weekly have this conversation with vendors saying, now remember that we're a church. We're not building widgets and we're not selling things to make a profit. We don't have shareholders that we're trying to have profit from this. We're a church. We're here to serve our community. And it maybe it's just a function of the day that we live in, but it's amazing that sometimes you'll kind of see and hear the light go on with some of your vendors when they realize, yeah, you know, I hadn't really thought about that before. We take for granted that, but sometimes the folks that we work with on a business relationship forget that, and it's important to remind them. Letter C, under asking the right questions, communicate that you're price shopping when you are price shopping, and actually do that, also known as competitive bidding. We just have a policy here that everything we do, we try to get at least another competitive bid and generally three, and especially if it's a large dollar type project. But let folks know that helps to make the environment more competitive. And then finally, point number D there, periodically ask ourselves this question: how can we do this more efficiently and more effectively? Let's avoid the concept and the thought that this is the way we've always done it, and that's the way we're going to do it going forward. We always ought to be thinking, is there a better way for us to do it? One of the great things about adding staff members to a ministry is that they always come with fresh ideas and thoughts. And it's so neat to pick somebody's brain, and even new members to our church, people that have expertise in certain areas, and say, look, here's what we do. You've got a background in this. What do you think about it? What are some ideas? Always ask ourselves, how can we do this better? Now, we've taken a few minutes this morning to talk about understanding the owner, our roles as stewards, to lead by example, to count the cost by planning ahead, having a budget, having a contingency plan tied to that budget, asking ourselves, are we being good stewards of the resources that we've been blessed with, and asking the right questions. Let me just say that as we close this session, that I hope that this has given you some ideas, something to think about and to take back to your ministry, areas that maybe you can expand on and to be a help and to maximize the resources that God's blessed your church with.
Well, you've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast. Today's lesson, Wise Stewardship in a Tight Economy, was taught by Ben Hobbs, the financial administrator here at Lancaster Baptist Church. You've been listening to the Ministry127.com podcast, a resource designed to encourage and equip spiritual leaders in developing a biblical philosophy of ministry for the 21st century. If you have benefited from this complimentary resource, the Ministry127 podcast, or from Ministry127.com, would you simply consider referring a friend? You know somebody perhaps serving in the ministry or growing in God's grace that could benefit from these resources. Send them an email and let them know about Ministry127.com. For more information and for many other additional resources that support local church leadership, visit Ministry127.com. Also, for publications resources that encourage spiritual growth and support the local church ministry, visit strivingtogether.com. Thanks for listening to this Ministry127.com podcast.